So back to forgiveness. Just before New Year's, we declared 99 days of forgiveness that will end on Easter. Today is day 64. Yeah. So I've been checking in with you once a month on how you're doing with forgiveness. If you missed the previous talks, they've been on the first Sundays of the month. So January 4th, February 1st, you can listen on the church website. And on February 1st, there was also a meditation called Release Your Prisoners that was about forgiveness that you might want to listen to. We've already established forgiveness is good for you. Literally, good for your health. Lots of studies show that. And psychologically, it clears out space for good, and it frees you from carrying around awful feelings. Have we also established, just with our general spiritual teaching, that there's more going on in your life than you are aware of at the level of personality? There's divine action in your life, a higher self working on your behalf, right? What that means is, we can't accurately judge the value of everything that happens. And we know this, because sometimes the most difficult experiences turn out to be the most valuable in terms of growth and learning, or becoming closer to others, or learning to love ourselves. So what does this mean for forgiveness? That there's more going on than meets the eye, which might make it easier to forgive. So for the purposes of this talk, I invite you to think of a situation in your life that may seem to be a mess. The other people are just wrong. You are angry or hurt or fearful. Did you hear what Tim said about anger as a cover for fear? Maybe you're thinking if you were really spiritual, you'd know how to handle this. Just keep your situation in mind as I explain this concept of forgiveness and see if it applies. As I've said before, there are two kinds of forgiveness. Last month, we talked about traditional forgiveness. Someone hurt you, you have lots of feelings about it, they were wrong, but eventually you let it go. You take back your power. You don't allow someone else to control the rest of your life based on what they did in the past. The other kind is what I've called metaphysical forgiveness. The classic book about it is Radical Forgiveness. In a nutshell, it's realizing that whatever happened was perfect all along. And my knee's already jerking. It was not perfect. They were wrong. This was bad. Don't try to tell me there was good in this situation. And that's where we all start when we're angry or hurt, or we've experienced loss or betrayal. But we don't get to be victims. Talked last time about the forgiveness process in South Africa. It started because Nelson Mandela refused to let himself be painted as a victim. And that took the wind out of the sails of those who wanted revenge for apartheid. We know we're not victims because we're the creators of our own experience. We've volunteered for this human journey to learn and grow, and that's what's happening. Colin Tipping wrote the book Radical Forgiveness. I think we're sold out in the bookstore. Colin Tipping is British. He was born during World War II in England. He worked in the corporate world, then he was a college professor, and he came to the U.S. 30 years ago to be a woodworker in Vermont. And life happened, and he ended up as a hypnotherapist in Atlanta. For some reason, he kept attracting hypnosis clients who had cancer. So he did some research and he found studies showing a relationship between cancer and unforgiveness. So he started trying to help his clients forgive and realized the traditional way would take forever. There's actually a study that shows the harder people try to forgive, the longer it takes. So Tipping created his own program using spiritual ideas, mainly from A Course in Miracles, and he has since taught this all over the world. He called it radical forgiveness. And it might have seemed radical in 1987 when the first edition of his book came out. It won't sound radical to you, but it is important to remember because it completely reframes forgiveness into deep soul work. And it actually answers the question, why bad things happen to good people? Because your soul has lovingly created situations in your life to heal you, to grow you, for you. It's hard to believe that in the heat of an upsetting event, but if you can make that mental shift, you are 90% of the way to forgiveness. You don't have to do anything. Just think about it differently. Your soul actually creates drama in your life, so you will have opportunities to look at your stuff, to bring it into the light and heal it. People will show up to push your buttons, to jab your wounds, to trigger old grief and pain so you can heal it. Because whatever needs to be healed is keeping you from being happy. It's getting in the way of your growth. And if you knew that was happening, wouldn't you consciously call forth whatever you need to heal it? You are. You're just doing it unconsciously at the spiritual level. But if that's the case, that whatever happens is something your higher self has brought to you for your healing, then there's nothing to forgive. Nothing has been done to you. It was done for you by other people playing their parts. They showed up as agents of the universe for you in a scenario designed by your soul. You're already thinking of exceptions, aren't you? Rape, child abuse, the Holocaust, of course, they are terrible here in our world of humanity. But what if there's a larger purpose? That isn't usually our first reaction, but that's okay. Eventually, we might consider there's a larger plan unfolding for each of us at the soul level. Everyone involved is getting what they need. And if all of this is part of a plan designed for us, then there's nothing to forgive. Which doesn't mean they're off the hook. Part of someone else's healing or learning might be a trip to jail or public embarrassment. There are consequences in the human world. We're accountable for what we do as humans. And if someone hurts you, you might press charges or file a lawsuit. At the human level, there is right and wrong. Even if we know that according to spiritual law, nothing wrong has taken place. I find it very comforting to think, as we go through all our human machinations, that there is a bigger picture where all of this makes sense. Tipping says, the main principle underlying radical forgiveness is that, without exception, everything that happens to us is divinely guided, purposeful, and for our greater good. It's all perfect. Even if we can't see it, even if we never see it. All you need is willingness to consider it. That you planned a mission before you took human form, and you are attracting opportunities to fulfill that mission and grow from it. Our lives as humans generally follow a pattern that takes us, well, to hell and back. Fairly early in childhood and on into adulthood, we learn to believe in duality, separation, pain, suffering, fear, guilt, and we believe in them because we have attracted abandonment, abuse, rejection, divorce, illness. But it's all a setup. It's necessary to the plot. How will our hero get out of this one? Ah, listen, there's the voice of the higher self. And if things get bad enough, you might be willing to listen to the higher self. You might be willing to think differently. This is why so many of us started on this spiritual path in middle age. It had to get bad before we looked for answers. I believe that's happening sooner with younger generations. They are more willing to consider spiritual solutions for human problems. But the problems are the catalyst. They're the motivation to change our outlook. We need the problems. They bring us information about the work we need to do, and they bring opportunities to do it. Part of me wants to say, cancel, cancel. I don't need problems. But let's say you created a lifetime to work on courage. You might choose a parent who bullies you. It's an opportunity to practice courage. You might end up being drafted into a war. It's an opportunity to practice courage. You might have a long-term illness. It's an opportunity to practice courage. The bully, the war, the illness could all be labeled bad. You keep attracting people and situations that seem to be more powerful than you are, that could easily crush your spirit. And maybe it was crushed in childhood. So for the rest of your life, you keep receiving opportunities to heal it, to practice courage, because that's what you came to learn. Any limiting belief that gets in the way of your purpose will keep showing up. If your father left you when you were 2 years old and you believe everyone will abandon you after 2 years, you'll keep attracting people who do until you see the pattern and choose to let it go. The good news is you don't have to know what you're healing. You don't have to know why you created this situation or attracted these particular people. Just be willing to see it as perfect and necessary to heal your original pain and carry out your soul's purpose for being here. The people who vex you the most could be your most loving soul friends, showing up to prod you along your path, helping you learn what you wanted to learn. This means, and there's always a catch, we don't get to judge anyone. They're playing a role for us, and they're getting what they need too. We can't fathom how this all fits together, but it does. Colin Tipping, being an Englishman, used Princess Diana as an example of this. He believes her primary life purpose was to open the heart of Great Britain and accelerate the spiritual evolution of the British people. And when we saw how they mourned for her in 1997, it looked as if she did exactly that for the British and for others. She, as a human, wasn't perfect. I mean, really, Diana whined, she complained. She was rich and royal and thin and beautiful and never happy. But to show feelings at all was refreshing for England. And everyone else played their parts. The Queen, Prince Charles, Camilla Parker Bowles, they let themselves be seen as villains so all this could play out. They too were serving the heart of Britain at great cost to themselves. All unconscious, all orchestrated at higher levels, all agreed to before they came in. We can't very well judge others for doing what they came to do. It's all working out just as intended for the benefit of all of us. The human species as a whole is advancing toward oneness. And I know that's hard to believe when you watch the news, but I do believe it. So if you're thinking about your example, something terrible in your life that you've labeled as wrong and bad, Colin Tipping would say to you, what if, instead of seeing this situation as tragic and undesirable, you became willing to entertain the idea that this is a divine plan, unfolding exactly as it needs to unfold, and that each of the parties, including the ones on the periphery, are getting exactly what they subconsciously want at the soul level, and that this is true no matter how this situation works out? Do you think that would make a difference? Your energy field, instead of being filled with fear-based thoughts and emotions, would be filled with love. Do you think that would have an effect on how the situation would finally be resolved? When one person shifts consciousness, it changes everyone else. It changes the morphic field, the energy we all share. When Nelson Mandela refused to be a victim, it shifted the energy pattern for all of South Africa, and civil war did not break out. When you forgive someone, they might not know it, but they can feel it, even at a distance. Their higher self knows, and they might start to behave differently. We have so many opportunities to transform victim consciousness. Every time we hear about child abuse, genocide, racial hatred, sex trafficking, what if you could watch the news, or even watch your family, believing it's all perfect? You are seeing souls hard at work, deeply immersed in the human experience, unaware of what they're accomplishing, acting out dramas so that healing can occur for them and the world. Nothing is a mistake. What a relief that would be. How much more energy would you have just to live your life? Colin Tipping says, the purest form of prayer we can engage in is to feel peace. The kind of peace that comes when we surrender totally to what is as is. In the knowledge and comfort that Spirit has it all handled. And that it will work out for the best if we just get ourselves out of the way. Don't pray for peace. Pray to feel peace. The so-called bad things we see are reflecting to us what we need to heal, personally and as a planet, where the work needs to be done. It all has a purpose that we agreed to carry out. So how? How do you do this? How do you forgive in this way? Just as Desmond Tutu had four steps to traditional forgiveness, Colin Tipping has four steps for radical or metaphysical forgiveness. And the first step is the same in both. Tell your story. Own it. You get to be a victim for a little while. Don't try to be spiritual. Don't pretend everything was really okay. Go over exactly what that SOB did. But do notice that every story has two tracks. One is the objective facts. What happened, who said and did what. And the other is our interpretation of it. So the objective fact might be your spouse left you. Your interpretation might be, people I love always leave. I'm not really lovable. Or I can't survive on my own. Or I'll always be alone. Or this was wrong and unfair. Or it's all his fault. Whatever you believe about it, the pain is in our interpretation of the facts. So, feel those feelings. That's the second step. You can't heal what you won't feel. Feelings are not always painful. Once you sit with them, sometimes you get down pretty quickly to being thankful or feeling peace about it. But don't try to jump there. Don't say, oh, I'm fine, Spirit's in charge. That's a spiritual bypass, and we talked about that last week with affirmations. Really, tell the story and dig into your feelings. Then the third step is to collapse the story. Because all your interpretations are not true. It's victim consciousness. You can choose to stop giving it energy. And once you do that, the stories will wither and die. This is also where you might start to feel a little compassion for the person you're forgiving. We all make mistakes. Most of us are doing the best we can. You can start to release the story. Then step four, reframe it. This experience was essential to my growth. The person or people were playing roles for me to help me on my journey. We're probably great friends on the other side. There is a gift in this situation, that kind of reframe. You don't have to know what it is, you don't have to know why it happened, or how it figures into your life purpose, although you might have some clues, now or later. Just surrender to the love in this experience, for you. Consider this as something you wanted to go through for what you could learn. It is helping propel you and the whole human species to love, joy, and peace, somehow. This could become a story of gratitude and acceptance. One note of warning, do not beat yourself up for creating this. It wasn't conscious. You had some healing to do. Everything has a purpose. There are no mistakes. This was created at the level of your divine self. Or rather than created, maybe think of it as an experience that was drawn to you. Everyone involved agreed to it at higher levels. So no victims, no villains. Tipping says, while it may always be difficult to recognize that both the abused and the abuser somehow created their situation to learn a lesson at the soul level, and that their mission was to transform the situation on behalf of all abused people, we can nevertheless be willing to entertain this thought. So step one, look what I created. That doesn't mean it's your fault. There's a good reason for this. Step two, look at my judgments about this. Interpretations, what you think it means. And that includes believing, oh, I'm a spiritual failure for creating this. Just love your judgments. They're part of your humanity. Step three, I'm willing to see the perfection in this situation. Willingness is all that's required. And step four, I choose to feel peace. Surrender to what is accept that there's a divine purpose here. This is a new level of living. This is fourth dimensional stuff. We know it's there. We don't understand it very well yet. We just know life makes more sense when we can view it this way. We can live in this consciousness of peace, love, and joy as individuals and as a human race as soon as we let go of what's familiar. And why wouldn't we? Because the old ways hurt, they're confusing, they sap our energy, they take a long time to work through. There is a better way to live, and we're getting the hang of it. I once was blind, but now I see. We only have to be willing. So let's take these thoughts about forgiveness into meditation with Kit.
So let's begin this meditation as we always do, taking a deep, full, cleansing breath in and out. And just aligning ourselves in our seats. Breathing into that space. Bringing our focus and attention to the heart space, and also focusing on remaining, as they say, open at the top. As you continue to go deeper into that centered place, you may bring to mind a person or situation, event, has been prodding you to take a look at it. Taking a look at it deeper from just the surface human facts. Yourself to feel give yourself permission to feel breathe into it if you need to. Ask yourself how you can reframe. How can I see this differently? Thank you. is that we are always one thought away. Just one. Inspired to make that change in a thought. Then choosing to change that thought. A sense of freedom, and if any fear comes up behind that thought, breathe into it and know that it is always perfect, indeed, always perfect. The universe is in your favor, always. You are that divine expression, here to expand, to evolve, to grow, and all of it for your good, all of it. There is a power in the presence in the universe. One power, one presence. We affirm that every week in our lives. Affirm that to yourself now. There is one power and one presence in the universe and in my life. And that power is here and available for us to use. All the time. Let it be the power that you use to forgive. Into that power. Feel it move all the way in through your body, back out again. Letting that light, that power swirl out from your body, out to this room, this community, this planet. Be the peace, be the forgiveness. Because you already are. So let's breathe in deeply one more time. Let it out fully. Big, big, big breaths. And with all of that power, that love, that forgiveness that you are, let's anchor this in affirming with the Alleluia.